Let us pray. God of love, we give thanks for a unity in you, in one spirit, by your one grace. We worship, we pray, and we listen for your word. Make us one in your love, one in Christ, and one in service to the world, through your one spirit. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts. Then an angel of God said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture he was reading was this: Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up from the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. God is the vine dresser. God removes every branch in me that does not bear fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, God prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are pruned clean by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch can't bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Those who don't abide in me are thrown away like branches. They wither. Those branches are gathered together and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask anything and it will be granted. By this God is glorified, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was resurrected in a real physical body. If you ask me, so where is that body now? I will say, look around. We are the body of Christ. Not metaphorically body. We are the real physical body of the risen Christ. When Jesus came back, Jesus breathed his spirit into us so that we would be his body, his spirit living in us. We're it. We are actually Jesus now. St. Teresa says, Christ has no hands but yours with which to heal the neighbor. No eyes, no feet but yours with which to bear God's love. We are the real, live, physical body of Christ. We are branches of the vine of Christ. When I think about this wonderful image of vine and branches, one thing that happens is it gets me out of myself. It's not about me. It's about the vine. It's true, I have to be self-reflective. I have to think about myself. I have to be aware of how it is that God's grace bears fruit in my life. Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. Well, where are those things in my life? Where does God's grace blossom and break forth? Where does grace happen? Where does justice happen? Where does beauty happen? I have to pay attention to that and nourish those fruits. And I have to pay attention to the ways that I diminish those fruits, the ways that I get in the way of that. I have to pay attention to what are those dead branches in me that no longer produce life and allow God to cut them off. Where are the places in me where I need to allow God to prune? That can be hard. It can feel like loss. But that's how I'm going to flourish. This image helps me get beyond myself to a greater kind of flourishing, rooted in the whole vine. Because it's not about me. It's about the vine. So I don't have to worry about whether I'm a good enough person. I don't have to worry if my discipleship or my service is good enough. Because it's not about me. It's about whether I'm open enough to let God be present in me and let those fruits flow through me. Not because I'm a good enough person, but because Christ is good enough. And I let that love bear fruit within me. A tomato plant doesn't worry about creating tomatoes. They're just what naturally grows out of that kind of vine. An apple tree doesn't have to work hard at manufacturing apples. Apples are just what grow out of that kind of tree naturally. So I do have to think of what I need to do in order to really be authentic to myself, to let who God is just naturally grow out of me and trust that it will be different than the way it bears fruit in other people's lives. But that's part of what it means to be in the vine, to be members of the body of Christ. When I think about that, I do have to be mindful of how God is at work in me. It also makes me think about you. Because it's not about me. It's about the vine. There are probably almost as many reasons for being here as there are people who are here. If we were to all list the reasons why we show up to worship on Sunday morning or participate in the life of the church, some of us do because it's habit. Some of us do because we want to see friends. Some of us do because we want to hear a good sermon or some scripture or we want to hear music. Sometimes we participate, we're here because we need to pray. Maybe we need to do some sort of action that embodies giving ourselves to God. We have all sorts of needs and desires and expectations. Maybe you're here just because you signed up to usher. You know what? That's the best reason. Because you're not here for yourself. You are not here for yourself. You're here for the vine. The grapes on that vine are not there for itself. They're there for the world, for the people who are hungry for grapes. The best reason that you might be here today is not because you need to pray, but because somebody else needs to pray. And they need you to sit with them. Maybe the best reason for you to be here today is not because you want to sing some beautiful music, but that somebody needs for you to hear their beautiful music. Maybe somebody else needs for you to be here. Maybe God needs you here, not for yourself, but for others. It's not about you. It's about the vine. It's about recognizing those ways that we see the fruit of the Spirit blossom and grow and issue forth in one another and nourish those fruits in each other. Sometimes we forget. We like being independent. We like having our own agenda. And it's hard sometimes to remember that we're all fingers on the same hand. And we hate to give up our independence. But think of this. There's not a lot of music you can play with one finger. It's when they work together that it becomes beautiful. It's when all those bells, each one are contributing their own note, all those voices singing together, every string in the piano tuned to the others, that the music becomes beautiful. You might think that it's not much to be just one finger on the hand of God, but you might be somebody else's opposable thumb. You might be what somebody else needs to do what they couldn't do without you. Because it's not about me or you. It's about the vine. So, I have some instructions for you. It's so easy for us to come for our little shopping trip, get what we need and leave, that we sometimes forget each other. Even if our shopping trip includes seeing my four favorite friends, and then I leave. I would like for you to look around the room and see somebody that you don't know very well. They are here for you, and you are here for them. And I'm going to instruct you. This will make it easier. You don't have to feel awkward because you've been instructed. After worship, I want you to go up to them, and I want you to introduce yourself. And you start, and because I've introduced you, there will be no awkwardness about somebody having forgotten somebody's name. Because it might be that you see somebody who's relatively new, and you might be that you picked out somebody who was here when the church was founded. And you don't want to walk to them and say, "Hi, are you new here?" You don't have to do that. What you do is you just walk up to them and say, "Hi, I'm Steve." And they can tell you their name, and then it doesn't matter who forgot anybody's name. You both know it. And then you say this: "I don't know you as well as I'd like to." Because that's true. I don't even know my wife as well as I'd like to. Right? There's nobody here that you don't want to get to know a little better. And then you can just make it easy. You know, ask them, "Where do you live? Do you live around here? What do you do for work? What's your favorite part about St. Matthew's?" Anything. Just take a baby step. But as you do, imagine this. That you're here for them, not yourself. You're here to be available to somebody else. You're here to be a part of the vine that they're a part of. Yeah, sometimes it feels like we're giving up a little bit of our independence when we really surrender ourselves and become part of the vine. But that's what death and resurrection is. That's what Jesus did. He gave up a little bit of himself and died and then was resurrected not as an individual, but as a community. And when we allow that to happen to us, even though it might feel like a little death, there is this miraculous resurrection. We then become really alive, way alive, infinitely, eternally alive. Because it's not just about me. It's about the whole branch. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the love that flows through us. We open our hearts to be branches of your vine, to bear the fruits of your love. God of grace, for your infinite spirit, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.